this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Welcome back to Unleashed. Remember, we have many excellent hosts, not just me, both on Unleashed at 7 p.m. on weekdays and on topical podcasts available on demand. Don't forget to spread the news about our America Out Loud articles and podcasts. Become active patriots who make a difference. Let's do everything we can to keep the truth alive. As you've noticed from our first segment, it's really hard to identify a goal for the Democrats. What are they trying to achieve? If you listen to their political statements, one sort or another, you'll hear, I'm working for whatever. And after Bernie Moreno won the Republican primary in Ohio, Sherrod Brown immediately jumped in and said, I'm going to keep working for Ohio. Well, what does that mean? Doesn't mean anything, to be honest, because nothing the Democrats ever do benefits any of us. File that one away, because that's going to come up again. Let's look at some prominent donors for the Democrats. George Soros. Now, George Soros gets blamed for everything. If you look at the online right-wing media, George Soros is behind the weather. I'm sorry, that's not true, but he's behind a lot of bad stuff out there. Let's start with a couple of things. In my neighborhood, he funded the election campaign of an anti-police district attorney, a state attorney. And ultimately, because this state attorney refused to seek the death penalty when it was called for in a murder case where, one, the murderer had shot and killed his pregnant girlfriend, two, he shot a cop in uniform, and then stood over her and pumped more bullets into her to kill her. I mean, this is just cold-blooded murder. She said, no, I won't seek the death penalty, even though Florida law requires it. Well, that ultimately led the governor of the state of Florida to delete her from her duties as district attorney. And you just wonder, what is he trying to do? Think about what happens in all of these areas. San Francisco, you had Chesa Boudin, who was letting all the criminals out. What is helping San Francisco when that happens? It's a real problem to find any good from it. And many large stores have decided to pack up their tents and go somewhere else. I grew up in the Seattle area, and mom would take me down to Nordstrom's to buy shoes because at that time they said they could fit any foot. Well, it turns out that Nordstrom's, which started in Seattle, is no longer in Seattle. Why? Because of a Soros-funded DA and the crime that follows when you don't prosecute criminals. He also funds Black Lives Matter, which has burned several cities. And think about this. Baltimore is the really good example. It was, again, a Soros-funded DA. But you had all of these riots in a portion of Baltimore which was black. You had Black Lives Matter burning down black neighborhoods, burning down stores in black neighborhoods. How does this make any sort of sense? What is he achieving? And of course, in general, you've got Democrats piling on the defund the police bandwagon. So when you've got somebody breaking in your door, they're going to call for the aggression counselor. Because supposedly you're going to help out with this guy's aggression and talk him down from breaking in and killing your family. Of course, I'm sure that if the aggression counselor could have come on time for the Georgia College student who was murdered brutally quite recently. As you will recall, you had a criminal, illegal alien released from New York. Oh, yes, another Soros DA, found his way to Atlanta and proceeded to use a blunt instrument to cave in this girl's skull. Why he wanted to do this, nobody has a clue. That is a depraved mind if I ever heard of one. But the fact is, that's what he wanted to do, and he went out and did it, and he was only able to do it because of defund the police and anti-police DAs. What are Democrats thinking when they're going down these roads? There's nothing there. And then, of course, you have the man in the street interviews where you have people like Jesse Waters go out and he'll ask a protester what they're protesting. And sometimes they know, sometimes they'll have to look up at their sign to read what it is that they're protesting. And then he'll ask them, what does this one item mean? Or another item mean? They can never define it. I can't possibly imitate how bizarre all of these things are when these people get out there and they're marching, they're protesting, and they have no clue what they mean. Oh, well, Trump is a Nazi. What is a Nazi? Trump is a Nazi. What is a Nazi? They don't know that Nazi is short for National Socialist, which was a German party, and they were completely socialist in their economics. Yeah, we're pushing socialism, but we're going to push nationals, blame the other guy for it. Yeah, it makes perfectly good sense. And then, of course, the protest of the day has to be queers for Palestine. Oh, yeah. That one, I have to admit, is beyond ordinary comprehension. So I suspect that what you have to do is have a particularly bizarre mind to figure this one out. Now, as I recall, a queer is a homosexual. Now, since they've gone alphabet soup, they may have changed the definition a little bit. And it may include people who dress in clothes for the other sex, like our alleged, oh, good God, I've lost his name now. The Surgeon General, of course. How could I forget? Who sits there dressed like a woman, but fully equipped with all of the male parts. Yes, this person makes perfectly good sense. Or we could take any of the 100 other alphabet soup perversions. How long would any of these last if they visited an Islamic area? That is, one governed by an Islamic area? If they were accompanied by the American news media, there's a small chance, just a small chance, that they might have the ability to walk out with their lives. But I would guarantee you that if they were there alone, their life expectancy would be measured with the speed of gravity, because the moment they stepped in, they would be invited up to the roof where they would immediately be pushed off. Because that's how Islamists deal with sexual perversions. And yes, they are sexual perversions. But somehow Democrats have to say, oh no, that's normal. That's gender affirming care. If you take a young boy who is playing dress up with his mom's clothes just because he's playing, and you say, oh, we're going to cut off his boy parts and we're going to make him into a girl. No, you're not going to make him into a girl. You're going to increase his risk of suicide by 10 times. And if you have somebody like that who goes to these Arab places, these Islamic controlled places, they won't survive. What is it in these people's brain? And you have to ask a question. And I ask this repeatedly. How do they think that what they're saying makes any sense whatever? We're going to take money from the rich. We're going to tax your wealth. Well, guess what? If I were to look at my current wealth, I would say, okay, I have certain investments where my money is tied up. You're going to make me take that money out, sell it, wipe out wealth in order to tax it. How is that going to help me make more wealth to pay more taxes? It's not. It's going to reduce my wealth and make it so I pay less taxes. And you just keep on going. There's so many things that make no sense on anything that they suggest. How is it that high taxes are going to benefit the country? They're not. We know from multiple occasions, John Kennedy did a tax cut from 90-some percent to 70% at the top rates. Ronald Reagan took 70% to 28%. And don't give me the nonsense of, oh, the deficit went up. Deficit is not the same as tax revenue. When these people reduce taxes, and even when Trump reduced taxes, when taxes are reduced, economic activity increases. And that means that the government collects more tax money. That's more money to do the things government wants to do. And you don't have to raise taxes to make this. But the Democrats are keep pushing for us to raise taxes. What happens when you raise taxes? They never produce anywhere near as much money as the Democrats say they will. It just does not happen. Oh, we're going to tax. We're going to do a luxury tax. Private jets and yachts. You know what happened? Sales of private jets went down. Sales of private yachts went down. The people in those industries lost their jobs. Tax revenues were very, very minimal. It just does not work. But do they ever look at results? Well, we have to ask one thing here, and it's, are they even starting with reasonable propositions? And I get a legal blog titled Justia Verdict. And today's Justia Verdict had a blog post by Michael Dorff, D-O-R-F, not the comedy character, Michael Dorff, who is a professor of law at Cornell University in New York. And in it, he's talking about polarization between left and right, but he makes some statements that just make you scratch your head. Goes, after months of painstaking negotiations produced a bipartisan compromise in the Senate. Wait a minute. Did it produce a bipartisan compromise? Yes. Was it in the Senate? Only in a sense. You had a small team of senators negotiating, and they reached a compromise among that small group of senators. It's like the Gang of Eight immigration stuff that's gone on. And you sit here and you say, okay, wait a minute. Maybe we should give you this one. But this so-called bipartisan compromise in the Senate was, quote, heavier on border enforcement than any position Democrats adhere to for supported. I'm sorry, Professor Dorff, that is a blatant lie. Because if you go back and look at the record of the current occupant of the White House, he has supported a border fence and locking down the border in the past. So has virtually every other Democrat in the Senate who was around when those things were discussed. The Bipartisan Border Fence Act, which was, I think, 2006 or 2008 under W, was a bipartisan act. We're going to build the fence. It was much heavier on border enforcement than any positions Democrats have supported since. And oh, by the way, the border enforcement in that bill basically didn't exist. That border enforcement was, in fact, a way of saying, if we get more than 50,000 a week through the border, unlawful immigrants, why should we allow 50 unlawful immigrants? We have a law. If you don't like the law, you change the law and get a different way of bringing people in. But they said, if we get more than 50,000 a week, then we'll shut it down for a week. How are you going to do that? Or 2 weeks, something like that. That's not border enforcement. That's legislating an open border. But this is a law professor saying that, oh, this is stronger than Democrats supported. I'm sorry, Professor Dorf. You are a liar. Then they said Republicans disavowed the very plan they had helped craft because former President Trump preferred to preserve immigration as an issue. No, that is not what went on. And I was part of the discussion on this before. The population of the country got up in arms and told the senators in no uncertain terms, we don't like this. As soon as the bill was presented for public view, not presented on the floor for a vote, all of a sudden, even some of the guys who agreed to it realized they were in deep doo-doo if they supported this, so they pulled their support. Had nothing to do with Trump. Yes, Trump opposed it, but the opposition was already there. And this brings me to a point that must be remembered. Donald Trump does not create the movement. Donald Trump exists because the movement is there. You cannot have the support of the people unless the people already support the ideas or support whatever you stand for. And we'll talk about more of that in the next segment. But he is the result. He's just the messenger, and he has gone to great lengths to pledge his life, fortune, and sacred honor to restoring America. And then Dorf goes on one step farther and says that the Democrat Party is a center-left party against an increasingly illiberal and authoritarian Republican Party. That is a lie of the highest order, Mr. Dorf. First of all, the Democrat Party, as it is constituted now, is frankly communist. It is as authoritarian as you can get. It says you do it our way or the highway. And we've talked about their idea of democracy is democracy for Democrats. Republicans have nothing to say. That's as far left as you can possibly get. And then he says an illiberal and authoritarian Republican Party. Well, they may be saying illiberal on the abortion rule, but think about Europe. There are very few places in Europe where you can get an abortion at all. And most of the Republican states who have passed rules on abortion have passed them as 15-week rules, which basically says first trimester, you got plenty of time to figure it out. If you can't do it then, that we're going to legally declare that a baby, and we're not going to give you the right to kill your baby. I'm sorry, murder of a baby is murder. Authoritarian, Republicans are authoritarian. Give me a break. Republicans are the least authoritarian of any out there. Our basic point is get out of my way. Now, nobody's completely pure. This TikTok ban thing is an example of censorship by both parties, but that's hysteria. Most of Republicans are saying, get out of my way, just let me live my life. You have pushed too far with your insanity, and I am not going to take it anymore. Now, after the break, we'll have a little more on the Democrat goals. Until then, don't forget to tune into our other great hosts on America Out Loud. We have specialists in almost every field you need to know about, and every weekday at 7 Eastern, you'll hear expert political commentary right here on Unleashed.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back to Unleashed. I'm Dr. Ted Noel. And as we start our last segment, please remember to visit the AmericaOutLoud.shop for the latest health resources and product innovations that may well enhance your life. Use the promo code OUTLOUD to get special discounts only for your America Out Loud family. As we go back to figure out where the Democrats are trying to go, what their goal is, there is no clearly identifiable goal. And it appears that the only thing that they have in common on every step along the way is to rule. As I said in the first segment, Valerie Jarrett, who was Biden's consigliere, actually she was Obama's consigliere, said, "We will be ready to rule on day one." And that word is particularly important. That is a royalty statement. And that's one reason, for example, while the British crown is a symbol, but it's anachronistic. There's essentially nothing that it does that's of substance. And various titles around the world are trivial sidelights when all of the actual governing happens somewhere else. It used to be that the kings actually did rule. And in certain places, their rule was absolute. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the key here is the Democrats aren't getting enough of America. You heard me right. The Democrats can't be satisfied with what they have, and they absolutely cannot allow their opponents to have anything. Think about this. Why in the world would Trump be obligated to put up a $600 million bond? I'm rounding here. In a judgment case where he probably, even if he had somehow not paid taxes, which isn't the case, might owe a couple hundred million at the outside. And why is it that a law that hasn't been looked at in decades suddenly gets resurrected to use against Donald Trump? The answer is really very simple. Donald Trump wants to take away the machinery that allows Democrats to rule. And here's how he's an existential threat. Now, Republicans, as long as I've been alive, have been villainized by the Democrats. And we'll just, you know, go back to Reagan. They thought he was an amiable dunce. And W got wiped out pretty quickly. But then, Bush the elder got wiped out pretty quickly. Then W came along and he couldn't be allowed to be there. And even though they agreed with all the intel that said there were weapons of mass destruction, suddenly they turned around and forgot that they had done it. You begin to see how they forget when it's convenient. But ultimately, the issue is we cannot allow anyone but us to rule. They don't care about the shape of the rule. They don't care about what they get from the country. They don't care about what shape the country is in. It is a divine right. And any threat to it has to be wiped away. Make no mistake about this. This is why, as we talked about last week, they manufacture ballots, because that helps them win elections when they aren't elections, win contests and put people in power when they had no deserving right to do it. We can walk along again and again. What do they want to do? They don't say how they want to rule. They don't want to say what they want to achieve by ruling, okay? Ultimately, Hitler put out a set of, this is what we want to do. Germany has been deprived. Germany this, Germany that. And who was Germany? The Führer was Germany. Hitler was Germany. You know, when he went into Poland, they wiped out not only the Polish Jews, they also took out the Russians who happened to be in the area. They took out the Gypsies. And then they were in the process of displacing the native Poles. It was Lebensraum. Germany was going to have living space. And all of that space up there in Poland was part of Greater Germany. He gave some excuse for it, but the bottom line was, it's all about Germany. It's all about me, actually. And this is where the dictators, the autocrats go. And they will lie, cheat, and steal. It does not matter. But it's not difficult to fool the young and the uneducated. Now, when you think about it, when Cambodia was taken over by the Khmer Rouge, who did they kill to begin with? They killed the college professors. They killed the thinkers. Why? They didn't want anyone to educate the younger people. That's right. If the younger people were educated, the Khmer Rouge would get wiped out. Ultimately, they did, but it took a long time. And the basic idea here is, I cannot allow anyone to challenge me. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that the bureaucrat? Yeah, but I repeat myself. And the autocrat sits here and says, I'm great. And that's it. I am the best. The young and the impressionable, as Rush would say, the low information crowd, think that they're great because they agree with a great person. But the dictator doesn't think about anything but him. His brain is broken. Let's make it clear. The leaders of the Democratic Party are psychotic. They are malevolent psychotics. They do not care about the truth. They do not care about America. And we need to make this very clear again and again and again. It's not about issues. It's about them. Their brains are broken. And they think that the only purpose for us is to serve them. The dictators, the autocrats, do not believe in anything that has to do with our well-being. They only believe in their own well-being. And it is so much easier to govern the stupid and poor than it is to govern wealthy thinkers. Wealthy thinkers will generally turn the economy back where it needs to go. They'll do creative destruction. You know, if green industries just aren't cutting it, fine, wipe them out, put the resources to work somewhere that's good and makes money. But no, the autocrats say we are going to go 50% of all car sales by 2030. That's only 6 years. We'll be electric. Well, they don't care that that's a physical impossibility. First of all, you can't mine that much lithium. Second, people don't want the bloody cars. They hate them. You can't charge them. They don't last long. They have a huge fire risk. Run the list. I mean, they're cool to start with. And if you're just driving to work and back, maybe they're okay. But they're really pretty crappy cars for anything else. If you're going to go on a road trip, forget it. It's not happening. I mean, I took a road trip from Central Florida up to Huntsville, Alabama, on up to North Carolina, on up to West Virginia, and back down. It wouldn't have been possible in an electric car. You just can't do it. But I have a gasoline-powered car. No sweat. When that needle gets down toward the bottom, you pull in, and in 5 minutes, the needle's back on full, and you're ready to rock and roll for another 300-400 miles, whatever, depends on the vehicle. Electric cars don't work like that, but they're going to demand that we do it for what they think is our good. And because the stupid and the poor are easier to govern than wealthy thinkers, they're going to push it. The kids are stupid. And if they destroy America, the rest of us are poor. And when people are that poor, well, ever heard of a guy named Jean Valjean who ended up in prison because he stole a loaf of bread? Oh, yes. Go read Les Miserables. He was so poor, he stole a loaf of bread. And it can't get any cheaper to buy people than when they're so poor that a little bread, a little circuses will take care of making people do what you want. The dictator does his very best when people barely survive. Why do you think that Cuba remains a dictatorship? It's not because the people want it. It's because people are so poor that in return for even just a living wage, they'll go into the army where they suppress the other people. Venezuela is the same story. It's simple. When you're poor, it doesn't take much to buy your loyalty. But let's go back for a minute, because I mentioned something called the divine right of kings. And you will recall from your history, if you studied it, that the Roman kings regarded themselves as gods. And we scientific Westerners think that's complete stupidity. It's not. And I'm going to have to take you slightly back to some biblical history. We know that after the flood, and we go into Genesis 11, there's the Tower of Babel incident, and the people rebelled against Yahweh, the God of it, of the world, the true creator. And he said, enough is enough. I'm going to confuse their languages. So you ended up with 70 different people groups that spread out because they couldn't talk to each other. And we know from Deuteronomy 32:8 that these were apportioned out to rebellious Elohim, that is, rebellious gods. And they were given a task of straightening up and flying right. And instead, they got worse and worse and worse. And what they did, and if we look in the book of First Enoch, now don't get me wound up, you won't find that in your regular Western Bible, but Coptic Christians include the chapter, they include this in their Bible, and we know that Jesus regarded it as scripture from the episode of the seven brothers. I'm a theologian, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. The basic item was there were seven brothers died one at a time, and the next one married the widow in order to raise up children for the dead brother. And Jesus got asked, whose wife will he be in heaven? And he says, you do not know the scriptures. Why? Because we will be like angels. And in the book of First Enoch, we find out that the Elohim fell because they decided that human women were good looking. They wanted them for themselves, and they could procreate. They could have kids. Elohim were immortal and were not supposed to reproduce. Not that they couldn't, but they took human wives, and the story goes on. And ultimately, we find in 1 Enoch 7, says these and all the others took for themselves wives from among them such as they chose. And they began to go into them and defile themselves through them to teach them sorcery and charms, reveal to them a cutting of roots and plants. And I'm going to skip part of this because that gets us into a discussion that's more theological than political. But ultimately, what happens? They were devouring the labor of all the sons of men, and men were not able to supply them. Oh, what are we seeing now? We're seeing taxes go up and up and up to devour what's going on. And remember, we saw revealed various sorcery and charms. If we go back to Babylon, the god of Babylon was Marduk. And all of the wisdom of the age, and this was forbidden wisdom, was handed down by divine messengers known as the Apkallu. These divine messengers then handed it to the various sages and priests and so on, who wrote it down, and it was passed down. It wasn't that we did scientific inquiry and found new knowledge. It was, this is the knowledge. It was passed down. It was by hand all the way down. And the kings themselves thought of themselves as the immediate descendants of these Apkallu. Now, this happened in Babylon. The sages were the bureaucrats. And we know from stories in Daniel how that worked out. In Greece, the chief god was Apollo. And he and his sidekicks passed down knowledge to the various priests there. And we know from the story of Paul at the Areopagus that he discovered there were altars to a whole bunch of gods, and he preaches to them about the unknown God who is the creator of all. But here's the thing, once again, the knowledge of the divine was passed down, and this was physically passed down. Don't get me wrong. These gods were real entities, and you don't have support of a divine king or emperor unless the people believe it. And the only way that they believe it is that they had some sort of divine interactions. So, you know, that's a long story on its own, but the fact is this was passed down and the king is appointed by the god. So you have a divine right of the king to rule. In Greece, we think of Philip of Macedon and Alexander the Great. These guys were divinely appointed to rule. In Rome, you had all of the emperors. It's the same story again and again. This is the conceit of the Democrat Party. And at this point, I'm going to take the last couple of minutes here and veer off into a side trip because I think it's worth hitting. As I have been studying the various political groups over time, I've run into a fringe group on the far right, anti-government groups, that is constantly talking about various leading Democrat leaders being involved in pedophilia and child sacrifice and drinking kids' blood. And I have constantly regarded it as nonsense. Give me a break. Where in the world does this come from? It's got to be just flat made up stuff. And I think a lot of it is made up. But still, you know, you keep seeing these sites come out with it. And I'm seeing reports of movies coming out. Who was it who did The Passion of the Christ? You know, he's coming out with a movie on this. You look at that and you go, wait a minute, this cannot be. But remember, these divine gods, well, these gods, Elohim, Elohim is one who lives in the realm you and I can't see. They may be having some interactions with these. We talk about the Bohemian Grove. Are Elohim appearing at the Bohemian Grove? We don't know because nobody gets to take pictures and send them back. But I'm going to go back to the book of 1st Enoch. It says, 1st Enoch 7, verse 3, they were devouring the labor of all the sons of men, and men were not able to supply them. And we're talking about the Nephilim, who are the offspring of the Elohim and women. And the giants began to kill men and devour them. Getting late into verse 5, and they drank the blood. They devoured one another's flesh, and they drank the blood. This sounds like what's being reported on these fringe sites. I'm not going to say it's true, but if you have these divine entities interacting with humans, and I can't imagine that they gave up the practice just because we became scientific. I rather believe that what they did was they morphed the practice one way or another in how they appear and made sure that they matched what people are looking for. And they are doing everything they can to increase their power, and they're using their cohorts to increase their power, and that this is actually the goal of the Democrats. And Donald Trump stands absolutely athwart it. He's the only presidential candidate in modern memory who is actively putting everything he has on the line, not for himself, but for us. So this is probably more than just a political battle. This is an ultimate celestial battle. This is Dr. Noel. Remember, it's the message that matters. Let's unleash the truth.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Welcome to Unleashed, your home for the web's best political news analysis. I'm Dr. Ted Noel. I'm glad you could join me. As we start this week's episode, there's no need for us to repeat all of that discussion about the word bloodbath. It's been well covered by others, and just like so many times where the Democrats seize on one word to create a problem, that's what this is. It's like the Charlottesville Fine People hoax and Russiagate. All of them are completely manufactured. None of them have anything to do with what actually has happened, or for that matter, what's actually been said. The Democrats, if they don't like it, they'll make it up. They just do not care. And this tells us something about the Democrats. They have no moral compass. You heard me correctly. None whatever. If it serves their purposes, that's all they need. And at this point, we have a question. What are the Democrats thinking? Or maybe we should ask, are the Democrats thinking? Because we have to ask the question of what is their end game? Where are they trying to take us? Now, we know Barack Obama said he wanted to fundamentally transform this country. And it seems like he is doing it pretty well in his third term. Please don't think that Sleepy Joe has actually unleashed all of these evil things on the country. Sleepy Joe doesn't have the mental capacity at this point. And don't give me the State of the Union as examples that he's really just fine. It's pretty obvious as he reached the end of it that he started to slide a little bit. And it really does look like he was hyped up on some sort of an amphetamine. One of my radio host buddies said it was Adderall, which is an amphetamine. And you know about amphetamines if you saw Breaking Bad. You know, they are uppers. They get people going. They keep them up for long periods of time. And depending on the dose, if you overdo it, they look horrible. And then they come down and crash. Well, the Democrats tried to tune it to make him look good. But what are the Democrats trying to achieve? And so I went to the web and I did some searches using different search engines and different search terms, trying to figure out what anybody is saying about a Democrat end game. And I can't find anything. You heard me right. Search it for yourself. There is nothing out there about a Democrat end game. And that makes me think of Valerie Jarrett when Barack Obama was first elected, saying that we will be ready to rule the moment we enter the White House. Think about that language. Ready to rule. They want to be monarchs, if that's what she's saying. And that raises questions. You know, is she thinking in terms of ancient monarchs who claimed a divine right to rule? That would explain a lot of things they do, that I have a divine right, therefore nothing I do could possibly be wrong. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I think of a Netflix show, Reign, R-E-I-G-N. It was about Mary, Queen of Scots, had several seasons. And the big issue there was primarily staying in power. There's another one called The Last Czars, The Empress, The Medicis, or even that famous one, The Game of Thrones. And you think about it, you go, what was it that the main characters in The Game of Thrones were trying to do? Basically the same thing that Mary Queen of Scots was doing, that the Medicis were doing, and on. They were trying to stay in power. That's right. They were in power. They wanted to stay in power. You can't find anything with much more detail than that. And I sit and scratch my head and I go, that's interesting. This seems to be a universal pattern. So if I go back and look at the series Rome, about the various emperors of Rome, what did they want to do? They wanted to stay in power. They were figuring out how they played one faction off against another faction in order to be just always safe in power and never going to be knocked out. But of course, the ones who were doing that all got knocked out by and large. Ultimately, you had Caligula, who became so insane. Nero, the same way. Nero commits suicide. Caligula was insane. Julius Caesar, he was assassinated because he assumed too much power. Other people who wanted their piece of it found him too intolerable. And what happened? He died a violent death. This seems to be the pattern in life, people trying to achieve power. And yes, they say things, well, we want to make life better for everybody. But now you have flowery sounding language. But when did any of that ever happen? And this was reflected in Donald Trump's appeal to the Black community in 2016. He says, what have you got to lose? And it's the same thing that we're seeing in many Black communities today. The Democrat Party has abandoned them as a group of people who need to be made better off, and instead assumes that they are guaranteed Democrat votes. Well, they're beginning to realize that the Democrats never do a damn thing for them. So you go down and you look at it and you say, okay, what's going on? And there are lots of tactical bits we look at. Gun control, they'll argue on that. To me, gun control means being able to hit your target. No, to them, gun control means we control all the guns. You don't get to have one. And if you look at things, this is the way that tyrants assume power. This is something that Hitler did, but they think Donald Trump is a Hitler. Voting rights. Oh, yeah. We want rights for the people who are going to vote Democrat. Democracy. Oh, we're going to have our democracy gets protected. That is, as long as you can vote for Democrats, that's democracy. If you vote for Republicans, oh my God, that's a threat to democracy. Climate change. Notice all of these things that they talk about. These are all tactical bits here, there, and there. Every one of them climate change, for example, we have to have government rules to manage it. And they never look at outcomes. They said if the government doesn't do things by 2000, we're going to be underwater. Oh, now it's to 2010. We're going to be underwater. The mentally disturbed Scandinavian girl who went and screamed about climate change, it's a moral imperative and whatnot. 12 years and we will all be dying. No, none of their predictions has ever come true, but they keep screaming at it. Oh, pro-choice. A woman's right to choose. This is a tactic. They chose language that sounds good, but they refuse to engage with the fact that you're killing a child. You heard me right. They're killing a child. And now they want something that sounds good, gender-affirming care. Believe me, gender-affirming care is you're a boy, period. You were born a boy. You're still a boy. We're going to affirm that, and you will learn how to be a boy. And if after you're an adult, you are still psychiatrically disturbed, then by George, go. But they never look at outcomes. Why? Because those outcomes would show that their so-called gender-affirming care is increasing the rate of suicide among disturbed kids. You heard that right. And so when we had illegal aliens coming across, oh, no, you can't do it. They're undocumented immigrants. Notice they changed the language to make it sound better. And now it's newcomers. They never tell you why they want them all here. We've talked about some of these before, but the Democrats will never give you an end game. Why? Because they are doing, as Elon Musk has said, trying to end America. And we have to ask, what is America? America is the place where the American dream lives. And this is crucially important. The American dream is the idea that you are free to bust your butt to make a better life and not have it stolen from you by the government. On the other hand, the socialist dream is that the government should be free to steal what you busted your butt to produce and give it to somebody who won't get off of his own. If you've heard that before, guess what? You're going to hear it again. The left never assesses outcomes. They shift their language day by day, and all they have is word salad, all the way down from VP Harris to the useful idiot on the street. As we go to break, remember to subscribe to this broadcast, like it, share it with your friends. Don't let them miss out on articles, podcasts, and pertinent news on AmericaOutloud.news. You'll always find the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who put God and country first. When we come back, we'll explore more about the differences between left and right.